Well, life hacks. I've said this before, and I probably should stop confessing it. The things that you say out of your mouth, you should not say sometimes. But I'll say it one more time, and then I may never say this again just because the ramifications are so intense. But typically, when I'm about to preach on certain subjects, I am tested on the exact subject that I'm either prior to me teaching it or post. In other words, if I was teaching, I'm surprised I'm not speaking on healing today because of what I'm dealing with. But what I am speaking on is patience, because that's what I needed, is to sit around all week with a heating pad and try and get work done and be in pain and be asking God for, go to 2 chiropractor visits and get on muscle relaxers and still nothing's happening. I have a little patience. We're going to talk about patience today. Is that okay? All right. James chapter, again, I'm going to stand when I can, and y'all are going to pray in the spirit under your breath probably. God's got something in this for you. There's a reason. Here's what James chapter 5 says. Be patient then, brothers and sisters, until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the land to yield its valuable crop, patiently waiting for the autumn and spring rains. You too, be patient and stand firm, because the Lord is coming near. Don't grumble against one another, brothers and sisters, or you'll be judged. The judge is standing at the door. Brothers and sisters, as an example of patience in the face of suffering, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. As you know, we count as perseverance. We count as blessed those who have persevered. You have heard of Job's perseverance and have seen what the Lord finally brought about. The Lord is full of compassion and he's full of mercy. Father, I pray, God, for your anointing right now. And Lord, thank you. Thank you for your restorative, regenerating power that's touching my body and anybody else that's dealing with sickness or illness today. God, we thank you in advance for the answered prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we've kind of figured out that James doesn't sugarcoat things. He comes pretty straightforward at us with stuff. He's not shy about dealing with real issues and confronting issues that the followers of Christ need to confront. Let me just recap. You know, we're in week 11 of this series. It's been really a good... Have you enjoyed this series? I've enjoyed this. I've enjoyed it a lot, personally. But what we've talked about a little bit is how when we're facing trials, the way to deal with trials is recognize that everybody deals with them. Nobody's immune. And you can face those trials with a good attitude. You can choose to have a good attitude anyway. He talked about temptation and how it's not about being spiritual, talking spiritual, but it's about walking spiritual. It's our walk needs to line up with our talk. And so we claim Christ. So let's follow Christ. Talked about not showing partiality. Favoritism, if you will, to other people, but that's an important thing. And we talked about how faith has legs to it. Faith is an action. It's not just lip service. We've got to, faith without doing, we've got to do some things. Talked about taming the tongue. How many of you are good at that by now? You're experts now already in just a few weeks? No? So we're still working on this. Amen. Talked about taming the tongue, the power of speaking love, and talked about godly wisdom, how that leads to peace. And by the way, remember this. This is such an important thing to remember from last week. But when the enemy's coming against you, the best thing to do is get close to God. Draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. You draw near to God, and all of a sudden the enemy's going, oh, he's hanging out with him? I don't want nothing to do with that. That's what you draw near to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. That you can do that. And then we ought to focus on those parts of God's word that we know of. We know his will. We always want his will, but there's a lot already written down. And we could focus on just what's written down already instead of some sort of like, you know, odd pull it out of the sky will of God thing. There's enough already. If we would just do some of the things that we already know, like love your neighbor as you love yourself, it's tall enough order right there. That's tall. If you just focus on that this week, I guarantee you, you're going to be tested in that area. Love your neighbor. Love God with your whole heart. Love your neighbor as you love yourself. That's a big order. Excuse me. It's a big order for us to deal with. And so these teachings are practical and they're to the point. But I can see you can see how hard-hitting he is. It's almost like he's speaking this stuff in tough love. I appreciate when people will shoot me straight. Don't beat around the bush. I love this, James. Now, it's not always convenient or comfortable. But let's just get to the point. If there's something wrong, let's fix it. James is saying, here's a life hack for you. You're dealing with a situation in your life. Have patience. The subject of patience is not one that anybody here in this room probably woke up this morning signed up for. God, today, teach me patience. People, you know, I want, how many of you want more patience? But you don't want God to teach you patience? But you want more patience. So what you're just basically saying is, God, come violate my will and make me do everything you want me to do so that I don't, like, no, that's not what God wants. He wants you to come to him with your free will. And patience is one of those, it's probably not one of the top 10 things that people want to talk about in church. You know, Lord, I want to work on having more patience. We know right away that if we say something like that, that God teach me patience, that means automatically you're going to end up in the longest line at Walmart today. It's just automatic. It's boom, it's going to happen. It means, you know, Lord, teach me patience today. You're going to wake up on a Sunday morning getting ready for church, and 5 minutes before church, one of the kids overflows the toilet. Hey, real life happens here. And since real life happens here, real patience is necessary here. Amen? We need real patience. You got that coworker that won't stop annoying you, just keeps going on and on. They got a bad attitude. You got to have patience. It takes patience to deal with financial strains and stresses. It takes patience when you get a bill you weren't expecting. It takes patience to run back to the Lord. Patience is not one of those things that one of the fruits of the Spirit that we like to talk about. You know the fruit of the Spirit? Love. Oh, I like love. Love's good. Joy. Joy is a wonderful thing. Right? Peace. Kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness. If nothing else, I could be those things and it would change my world. But I love it when I run into somebody that's kind and gentle and faithful. It helps me. Even self-control has a lot of benefits, right? But when you throw patience out there, you're like, oh, we got to go there? I'm pretty comfortable with my impatience. And I'm pretty impatient. Anybody else, if you see your two, I don't do this very often because I don't do fast food, but if you see two or three cars in the fast food line in the drive-thru, you'll drive to another restaurant. I'm not waiting here. You'll drive 10 minutes to go to another place when you could have already been eating. Anybody else do that? I'm not the only one that's psychotic like that. Okay, I'm just checking. I've done it. Patience, for most of us, is not something we're really excited to just sign up for today. God, teach me patience. But James is trying to tell us that if we have patience, we can face everything in this life. And I, by the way, I'm not going to make this sermon three times longer to teach you patience today. I could, I should, but I won't. I actually go a little faster. Here's how we can keep a healthy perspective on life. And the easiest way to walk in this patience, the first one, if you're taking notes, is keep eternity in your mind. This is an eternal thing we're dealing with, not a temporary thing. Nothing about this is all temporary. Whoever is the world champion this year in football won't be the world champion next year in football. It's temporary. I don't even remember who won the World Series this year. It's temporary. Like, I don't. Somebody did. So you remember? I don't have to remember it. I got only so much hard drive space. I'll count on you to remember it. The reality of it is we need to walk in patience. And if we're going to walk in patience, we can do it if we have eternity in mind. He says, be patient until the Lord is coming. Till the Lord's coming. Be patient because the Lord is coming near. Paul writes to Timothy, he says, fight the good fight. Listen to this mindset, this eternal perspective. Paul is trying to get Timothy to stay in the game. He says, fight the good fight. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. In the sight of God who gives life to everything and of Jesus Christ, who while testifying before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. I charge you to keep this command without spot or blame until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. You want to keep the right perspective? You want to walk in the patience as you're walking through this life? Keep an eternal perspective. This is only temporary. The old saying, don't sweat the small stuff, and everything is small stuff. It's all small stuff. In comparison to eternity, it's all small stuff. Paul writes to the church, the Philippian church, he writes these words, for as often as I told you before, and now tell you again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is their shame. Their mind is set on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. Let me read that again. Our citizenship is in heaven. Someone say amen. It's important to know that. And we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control will transform our lowly body. Oh, thank God for that today. He'll transform our lowly bodies so that they'll be able to be like his glorious body. In fact, just because I can, I declare it. Back problems don't exist in heaven, so they don't need to exist on earth. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, Father, in Jesus' name. Both James and Paul are reminding us that our real citizenship is in heaven. I'm sorry, I'm proud to be an American, but America will cease to exist one day. Heaven will not. I'm proud to be Alpinian. But it's not about my location of my physical body. It's about the condition of my heart. And am I walking impatient? Am I realizing that my citizenship is in heaven? I might have a passport that says I belong here, but I don't belong here. I'm only passing through just like you. It's only a mist and a vapor. John Newton, probably the most famous hymn ever, Amazing Grace, writes these words. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright, shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun. The next time we're frustrated because something's not happening on our timeline or quickly enough as we think, we need to stop and say to ourselves, well, how big is this thing in comparison to eternity? Compare your problems to eternity, and they don't seem like much of a problem. Your situations and your circumstances. Your circumstances are not bigger than God. Compare your circumstances to God, and you'll see the picture with an eternal perspective. Paul and James are both reminding of this. Know this, that the presence of God, many times, and when we're getting to the presence of God, we're operating in the presence of God. The presence of God will not always fix your problems, but it might clarify your perspective. Problem didn't go away, but I can look at it differently. My perspective is this healing's coming. That's my perspective. The Lord's coming soon. This is what he's talking about. He's talking about the second coming of Christ. The Lord's coming soon. And if he doesn't come in my lifetime, my life is only, as we saw last week, a mist and a vapor. Just the breath and it's gone compared to eternity. That's how long our life is. And I'm a citizenship. I have my citizenship in heaven. And because this world's not my home, and because I'm only passing through, that means the thing that's trying to steal my peace and trying to steal my joy doesn't really have any place. And I've got to put it in real perspective. Whatever that thing is, whatever the thing that's going to come against you this week to try and steal your joy and to shift your perspective on your problems and on the Savior in your situation. James says that we should have an eternal perspective because an eternal perspective always sees that what's ahead of me is greater than what's behind me or even what I'm in right now. An eternal perspective says, I know God's got this. I know God has a plan. James then says, because we have this eternal perspective, we can stand firm knowing that this world is not my home. I'm only here for a short time. And one day I'm going to be reunited with all my family members and loved ones that I love. I'm going to have a heavenly body. Hello? Thor. What the? Never mind. I won't go there. I'm just saying, we've got to keep that eternal perspective and remember that our citizenship is in heaven. And when we do that, we can stand firm. Here's what the scripture says in Ephesians. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm. Standing firm is directly linked with putting on the full armor of God. Stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you'll be able to resist the evil in the evil day. And having done everything to stand firm. Don't stop. Don't quit. Keep going. I'm in this thing for the long haul. I'm going to stand firm. You guys know me long enough, many of you know me long enough that I don't look for a demon behind every rock. You know those hyper-spiritual people that see demons everywhere? There's a demon in that blue chair. They're, really? I see a bunch of them. No. No, people, they'll look for demons everywhere. Let me tell you something, a little secret. You don't have to look for a demon. Satan's going about to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. You don't have to look for him. He'll find you. What you got to do is draw near to God. And then you can resist the devil. What we have to do is draw closer into the Father. And then he has to back off. We have to have this eternal perspective. Don't have to look for Satan under every rock. I'm actually, you know what? Don't blame Satan for everything. There's some things he just doesn't get blamed for. You lost your keys, you lost your keys. It's not Satan's fault. Instead of getting all frustrated that you lost your keys, be thankful that you have a car. Woo, Pastor, that was good. Amen, right? That's eternal perspective. That's being able to stand firm. That's what we're talking about. Having said that, I also know that Satan likes to attack me every day. And I'm praying for stuff like healing. And sometimes things don't happen on my timeline. Or I get stuck in rush hour traffic. It took me like 2 hours and 15 minutes to get to Sorrento Valley the other day because I had to go side streets because there was so many accidents. What happened? I don't know what happened on Monday. Monday was the day for that, apparently. Talk about learning patience. I had to sit in traffic. Oh, my gosh. Never mind. It's all about learning patience. We feel sometimes a little too entitled as his children. I think sometimes we just feel like God, I'm his kid, he should answer right now. Well, God will answer when he wants to answer. And you're like, well, he was an hour late. Did he show up? Yes. Then he was right on time. Just because you think he was an hour late, you don't see the grand schemes of God. Hello? When we determine that we're going to stand firm in the Lord, when our patience is being tested, we're talking right to the enemy. We're signaling right to the enemy that we're going to win this war in the heavenly realms and that he's not going to be able to distract you. When our patience is tested, we just need to draw fully into the armor of God and then stand firm. And who knows, perhaps when you're delayed, you have your own agenda and you get sidetracked by somebody or somebody needs to talk all of a sudden, you're like, oh, who needs to talk? I don't have time to talk right now. Don't they know my schedule? Oh, my goodness. I'm the only one that ever thinks these thoughts? Okay, I didn't think so. Perhaps the delay is a divine delay. And perhaps the delay has nothing to do with you and has something to do with the other person that you're supposed to be sitting there and talking to. You have this conversation. Next thing you know, you find out that they're your new best friend. And God did that because you allowed yourself to be distracted. You exercised the patience. I have an agenda. I have a plan. Okay, I'll stop. And we do that. It takes patience to be bothered. It takes patience to listen to the Holy Spirit and follow what he says. It takes real faith to do what the Holy Spirit says for us to do. It takes patience to keep doing it when you're not seeing any results, but you know that God said you should do it. When you know that it's God's will for your life and you're just making steps every day, you're out chopping wood, you're taking another whack at the tree, hoping that tree's going to fall down. Just know that it's God's will and it's going to fall down. You just stay in faith and keep going and do not stop. It takes patience to be bothered. What if your delay was connected to somebody else's deliverance? I've heard some of you guys tell these stories. You know, I got in a conversation and then I told my story and this person was blown away by my story and they wanted what I have. I shared with them about my addictions and how God got me through my addictions. And your delay was a setup for somebody else's deliverance. And by the way, you may not be the one that is around when the deliverance comes. You're the one that's planting the seeds. And trust God that he's going to take care of it. God, I repent publicly today in front of everybody here if my bad attitude has ever gotten in the way of somebody else's breakthrough. In other words, I'm just too busy. I've got, don't they know who I am? I'm not going to say these things, but sometimes we get this attitude like, well, I really don't have time. God forbid that my bad attitude led to someone else's breakthrough delay. And now we serve a sovereign God who's amazing, who knows how to get, George, he'll get you your breakthrough. But he wanted to use me, but I was disobedient, and so I didn't do anything when the Holy Spirit was speaking to me. So he raised my cup to do it. God, see, God's going to get the work done, but Peter, he really does want to use you, and he wants to use me. Are you hearing me today? This is free stuff right here. The Holy Spirit dropping in my heart right now. Have the attitude that says, I'm gonna be patient, whatever God has for me today. You know, you wake up in the morning and go, God, lead me and guide me. And then when he starts doing it, you're like, but I didn't want to go there. I didn't want to speak to them. Right? While we're on the subject of attitudes, you don't have to accept the attitudes that your emotions suggest. I know stuff happens and your emotions immediately jump up and it gives you an attitude. You don't have to accept those attitudes. Oh, it's only natural. Let's walk in supernatural power. Amen? James gives a quick kind of short warning here. And if you're not careful, you'll miss it. He talks about grumbling. Too often, if we're not careful, we'll find ourselves grumbling about our situation. And we're grumbling. Literally, we're not grumbling about our situation. We're grumbling against the Lord. Well, I can't see why I got to go through this again. Who are you talking to? No one. No, yeah, you actually were. You were talking. See, by the way, God's not insecure. And if you turn to him and went, God, I'm not sure how I have to go through this again. He's not going to go, I don't know. I'm not sure. He's not going to freak out and be. You can talk to God with your frustrations. You can take your cares to the Lord. That's okay. It's better to take it to them than to take it to everybody. Well, I don't know why. Drew, I don't know how much more I can take of this. I'm grumbling against my Father. I'm grumbling. We all do it, so don't get all beat up about it. We've all done this. But it takes it to another level when I realize that me grumbling about my situation is me walking in fear that somehow the Father's not going to work it out for me. We've got to trust that the Father's going to work it out for you. Trust Him. Instead of grumbling, why am I going through this? Ask God, what are you preparing me for? Pastor, I'm shifting your perspectives today. The sitting down thing's working out for me today. I think I'm going to do this next week too. It says, don't guard yourselves against grumbling when you're delayed or when some things are not going your way. It's easy to grumble against the Lord when we're waiting for a miracle to happen. It's easy to do that. James gives this anecdote a little bit, and he talks about falling into an easy trap. And see, instead of grumbling, we ought to think of people in the Bible, he says, who experienced what we've gone through, and they've made it through to the other side. They didn't even see the second coming of Christ, and they were announcing it. They didn't even get to see it, but they kept going. Talk about walking in patience. Jesus is coming. Yeah, I've been hearing that forever. Jesus is coming. Well, let's stay patient and keep believing. Amen? James says, look at people who've gone through real delays in their life. Abraham and Sarah, great example. Long, long after their childbearing years, the promise comes to pass and they have a child. Long after that. We think of Joseph sitting right next to Pharaoh in a place of honor. But we forget about the chapters where he had to really walk in patience. There was the patience in the pit. There was patience in the prison. He had to walk in the patience of God. And as he met every challenge and passed every test, he was promoted. I'll use a quote from an old sermon I did a long time. What have I told you that the giant you just slayed set you up for a bigger giant? I should bring about the Facing the Giants series. I think I should do that one again soon. We'll see what happens. I just know this. What you felt like was supposed to destroy you was really sent to develop you? To grow you up? The testing of your faith works perseverance or patience. It's literally, this isn't a trial, it's a test. It's not a test from the Lord. It's a test, but it says, are you going to pass the test? Are you going to pass the test? Paul experienced a bunch of hardships in his life. He writes seven books in the New Testament while he's in prison. Four of them, specifically, the scholars refer to, were specifically written in prison. Ephesians, Philemon, Colossians, and Philippians. All those were written in prison. Paul was going through incredible things, but yet he had an eternal perspective. I am here this morning on whatever today's date is, but Sunday morning with a bad back, hurting, and in pain. Honestly, not because I need a Purple Heart, but I honestly have the right perspective. I'm just telling you right now, I had to go through a little bit of a gut check in my spirit. I could have called a couple people. I could have got some pinch hitters. I could have had my wife read you the notes. I could have just told the worship team, lead a worship service. But I knew that the Holy Spirit wanted me to deliver something into your hearts this morning. And so I don't care about my back. That's temporary. Eternally, I'm here because there's some eternity things happening right now. Worship team, I want you to come. As they're coming, let me kind of just remind you of something. Don't allow the enemy in your life to use your moments of pain to distract you from the purpose of God. What if those moments of pain were exactly to promote you into your purpose of God? Example. I love Marty. Marty, you're a great example. I'll use you as an example. What if your pain was meant to promote you into a position that's going to help somebody else out that's going through the same pain you went through? See, God won't waste your pain. Let's be patient and trust in that he's doing what he wants to do in the situation. Don't allow the enemies to allow that pain to distract you from the purpose. And keep an eternal perspective. The scripture says we're surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. After he lists all these incredible people in Hebrews chapter 11 that stayed in faith and never saw the return of Christ, after he lists all those people, he says this to us, to the church. Therefore, since we're surrounded by all these people who stayed in faith, never seen it, there are a great cloud of witnesses. Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with, there's that word, perseverance. Most translations translate it patience. Let's run with patience the race marked out for us. It's a good thing I don't have to run your race. I have to run my race. And I can run my race with my patience that God's giving me. Fixing your eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, for the joy set before him endured the cross. He had an eternal perspective. Jesus had the right perspective. He endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The writer of Hebrews is echoing the words of James right here, where he's saying, look at these people of faith who have experienced all kinds of things. Their patience was tested too. And if we look closely at them, at their case studies, we'll see that they made it through the other side. But here's our problem. We'll judge people on the chapter that we're reading right now in their life. And you didn't read chapter 6. Or 7 or 8. You're just running into them in chapter 13 and you think they got it all together. Well, where's my miracle? They were patient through a bunch of chapters. And I know this, if we'll draw near to God, what the enemy intends for a season can only be a moment. The enemy will try and keep you in a season of being trapped, discouraged, depressed. But if you'll draw near to God, it'll be momentary. It'll shorten those seasons. Godly patience recognizes that what's ahead of me is much greater than what's behind me, what God has planned for me. And James wraps up this teaching by talking about that he's full of mercy and compassion. See, I recognize now that God's probably more interested in changing me than my circumstances. I want him to just fix the circumstances. Well, we could all have that same attitude, and I know some of us have had this attitude. Can we just go to heaven and get it over with already? Sometimes, yeah, like when I'm in pain or something, can I just get right to heaven? Today we should determine that we're not going to grumble. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to quit. We're not going to be defeated. We're not going to walk in defeat. We're going to be overcomers. We're going to do what the Word says. We're going to follow Him. We're going to trust God. We're always kind of looking towards something. We're waiting for something to happen before we step out. What if God doesn't want you to... Now, this is almost sounds counterintuitive to the patience thing, but hang with me for a minute. What if God was saying, stop waiting and start working? What do you have in your hand now? Well, one day when God finally gives me this, then I'll... What do you have now that you can offer to God? You can offer Him your life. If you start with who you are or where you are, God will eventually take you where you need to be. But you have to start somewhere. And it takes patience to walk this thing out. And I know this about my God because I've lived this out too much. Following the will of God is not always convenient. It's not always a straight line. But it's stinking worth it. Absolutely worth every moment of it. the testing and the trials, all those things. You come out on the other side, not even you come out of the fire, not even smelling like smoke, and you all you can do is rejoice at that point. You come through the deepest, darkest situation of your life, losing a family member or a loved one, and you still have a peace that's sustaining you, rejoice. You can do that. You can walk, you can drive on a Monday through Monday morning traffic to Sorrento Valley and maintain your peace. That's a Holy Spirit gift. I am not good at this. That's why it's a fruit of the Spirit. My job is not to produce patience. That's the Holy Spirit's job. My job is not to produce joy. My job is to choose joy. My job is to choose patience. But those things are gifts from the Holy Spirit. And He's offering every one of you those the gift of patience today. All we got to do is pick it up and start walking with it. And every single time you pass a patience test, know this, there's a bigger patience test coming. Dang, that's not good news, Pastor. No, it is good news. Because if you got you through that one, He'll get you through this one. And you can hang on to that. Would you stand with me?